and welcome to Kids Get Acquainted with the Internet, a Girl Meets World podcast. I'm Dan.
I'm Dustin.
And I'm Amanda, and today we're comparing and contrasting the pilots of Fuller House and Girl Meets World.
This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Visit audibletrial.com/GWPodcast for your free audiobook download.
So these are some somewhat familiar voices, but since they haven't been on a ton, Dustin, you want to quickly reintroduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Dustin, and this is my second or third time on the podcast. Dan, thanks for having me back.
Of course.
I always love coming on. So I run a blog, a Girl Meets World blog, called The Long Game, and you can find me on Twitter at GNW Long Game.
And I'm Amanda, and I'm at GMW Buzz on Twitter. I do Girl Meets World BuzzFeed articles. I just did a Girl Meets Texas quiz. I think this is my fourth time on the podcast, and I think my first time was actually with you, Dustin, for Girl Meets World, Girl Meets Texas Part 1. So glad to be back again. Thanks again, Dan.
A Texas quiz. What is this Texas quiz? I missed this thing.
Oh, I tweeted at you. It's how well do you remember Girl Meets Texas?
Oh, I have to look at this.
Yeah, BuzzFeed published it on cool. their main BuzzFeed site. Oh, wow. So it's pretty exciting.
That's awesome.
Probably not as well as I should remember it.
I try to make it hard, but people are doing well on it. So.
Nice. So I guess a couple housekeeping things. First of all, we just recorded 40 minutes of this podcast, and then the recording failed because I'm super great at technology. So we're doing it again, and hopefully we will still be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and not ridiculous. I'll try to make it a little bit more fun and wacky, the fact that we know everything that the other person's going to say, but in the meantime, I'm just going to throw out that if you're looking for where the Bay Window podcast is, I've been wanting to get it up for a while, but it's important to me with these last few episodes of the season to try to get Keith and Caitlin both on the podcast, and all of our schedules are totally out of sync right now, and trying to get all three of us together in one place is not the easiest thing. So we're going to, we're aiming to do Bay Window and Legacy together this weekend after Legacy. We'll see if it happens, but I hope it does. But in the meantime, I thought it would be great to bring in these guys and to talk about Fuller House, because it is in the zeitgeist at the moment. And so we're going to start off with Amanda. What is your background in Fuller House and Boy Meets World? So the old shows before the new.
Sure. So my background with both of them is pretty similar because I was born in 1990. So it's kind of in the middle or right before when these shows started airing. So I obviously wasn't watching at 2 or 3 years old, but I would watch all the repeats. So I pretty much watched the end of Boy Meets World. I was old enough to watch it at that point. But Full House, it was more like the repeats on ABC Family, on Nick at Night. Full House, I may not have seen exactly in order, but I've definitely seen every episode multiple times, especially with all the Nick at Night repeats. That's what I would watch as a kid.
Yeah.
I would say since I've been more involved with Girl Meets World, I've probably at this point seen more of Boy Meets World and more familiar with Boy Meets World, but just about equal in terms of like my knowledge of it and at what point I was watching them and my familiarity with it.
Cool. Dustin?
Yeah, so similar to Amanda, I'm pretty familiar with both shows. As a kid, I watched Full House, not as it aired originally, but I watched it kind of in reruns and syndication.
Yeah.
And I've seen probably all the episodes, not necessarily in the correct order.
Yeah.
Because as reruns go, they don't always show up in the right order. But I've seen most, if not all, the episodes of Full House. And then Boy Meets World, I grew up on. I say that I watched Boy Meets World from the very beginning all the way through during its original run on ABC on Friday nights. And then I watched Boy Meets World reruns in middle school, high school, college, all that stuff. So I'm much more familiar with Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
But I have seen a lot of Full House as well.
So I'm jealous that do you have memories of like being halfway through Boy Meets World and not knowing what was coming next?
Yeah. Like literally every single Friday night I used to watch it with my family. Yes. Wow. I remember. So for instance, I can remember, so season 5, the Lauren arc, I can remember not knowing what's going to happen next.
Oh, man.
Wow, that's crazy.
And anyone who's heard me talk at all knows I'm a big fan of that arc.
Nice. So I'm the youngest here. I'm 91. So and the other thing is, I don't know, I'm sure I had to have seen some episodes of Boy Meets World while they were airing. I definitely didn't see them all in the right order and all at once. I've seen all of them now many times. And unlike Full House, I've watched them on DVD over and over again. Full House, I liked as a kid. I watched a lot of the reruns. I remember coming back and seeing some of them on ABC Family and stuff like that. I've likely seen every episode, but I don't really know because I never watched it in order. I definitely liked it as a kid. I never, well, maybe as a kid, I liked them sort of equally. But looking back on them, Boy Meets World, I look back on fondly for more than just nostalgia. I look back on it for quality, and I feel like I learned a lot of things from it, and that it's a solid comedic show. Full House, I look back on, I'm like, I enjoyed this as a kid, but it has a lot of catchphrases. It has a lot of basic humor, sort of the same thing over and over a lot of the time. And even though I enjoy the cheesiness and all that stuff and like love the characters, I never really looked back on it with as much love as Boy Meets World. So when we, as we're getting into these sequel stuff now, I was much more excited about Girl Meets World than whereas Fuller House, when I was hearing about it, I was like, well, this is silly. This will be like a ridiculous weekend of recalling the old memories. But I wasn't like chomping at the bit for it. But so yeah, let's get into the basic thoughts on the Fuller House pilot. We're really going to focus on the pilots here, but again, if you guys want to throw in little sprinkles of stuff from later in the series, feel free. I haven't seen all of it yet, but we'll see if I even do, because I don't love the later episodes as much as I actually enjoy the pilot. But Amanda, basic thoughts?
Sure. So overall, I wasn't too thrilled with the Fuller House pilot. I have seen the whole series at this point, so I can say like it does get better. Like there are probably 2 to 3 episodes which I really did love start to finish. My biggest issue with the pilot is it was a long series of entrances, and it was really distracting. Like the whole first like 10 to 15 minutes was just character introduction, reintroduction, long applauses. I just didn't really like it. All the re-explaining, etc. And it felt like just a long 40 minutes of that. I also thought there was way too much. They relied way too much on previous jokes and previous one-liners. Like I think it was one-liner after one-liner after one-liner, like to the point where it didn't even make sense in conversation. I think it was completely for fan service. Because that's the thing, like it did give me that like warm fuzzy, oh, this is what they're up to. It's nice to see them again. But looking at the pilot as a whole, it didn't really work for me. There was the plot to it was pretty much all in the last 10 minutes. And again, it was nice seeing everyone. We'll go into later like some of my favorite moments, some of my least favorite moments. But overall, wasn't too thrilled with the pilot.
I certainly see a lot of your criticisms, and as we talked about earlier, there are definitely issues with it, and I don't disagree that a lot of it's fan service, but I was actually sort of caught off guard by how much I enjoyed this pilot. I didn't even realize how much nostalgia I had for these things until I was watching. I didn't even remember that Danny was obsessed with cleaning. Like, I can't believe I
Really?
didn't. How did I not remember that? That's like his entire character. But that opening scene, as ridiculous as it was, I do think there are issues there. But everybody just slid right back into their roles. There was never a moment of, oh, I don't know that he would say that. Like, it felt like their acting was exactly as it was. The writing was, they knew these characters, and it's maybe it's easier because these characters are maybe a little more basic and cheesy to begin with. But I really did appreciate being back in the same setting. I love these sets a lot, and they feel homey to me. And it really did just give me the feeling of like, oh, I'm recapturing something from my childhood. And maybe it's even more so because, unlike Boy Meets World, which I've been watching straight through my entire life, basically, I haven't watched Full House in many years, and so it bringing me back there was really kind of nice, and it was heartwarming and corny in the nicest ways. There were also a few things that I really enjoyed that I wasn't expecting. Like, I never liked Kimmy in the original Full House. I thought she was kind of annoying, and obviously she's supposed to be, but she also just like wasn't fun for me to watch. Here, I was really happy with the performance of that character, and I thought that they made her pretty funny. I loved a lot of the new people. I think Max is a great young character and a great young actor. That's most of my feelings. I did want to say one thing I actually forgot to mention last time we were talking is I'm not a huge fan of the whole Fernando thing for Kimmy's ex-husband. It just feels like a kind of weird stereotype that I'm not a huge fan of, but whatever. It's a very small minor thing.
Yeah, Fernando's interesting. Like, if you get through the rest of the series, you'll see some even more interesting things about Fernando. Like, I kind of hated him at first, too, but he has, believe it or not, some redeeming qualities.
Interesting. Dustin.
So, I'm kind of a mix between both of you as far as my feelings on the pilot. So, I've seen the whole series, and so I agree with Amanda that there are some redeeming qualities about Fernando on the show, but I still don't like him.
Yeah.
It really drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But as far as the pilot, like Amanda said, there's a lot of – it's based in nostalgia for the most part, right? So a lot of it plays off of Full House references and cliches and one-liners and all that stuff. But I think it's important to approach it from the perspective of that was the purpose of this particular pilot, and it was also the purpose of the show, right? Because Fuller House, after watching it for a whole season, is kind of like Full House season 9 set like 20 years after the show left off. Whereas Girl Meets World is more of a spinoff. It's a continuation, but it's more of a spinoff and focuses on the new characters.
Yeah.
I think Fuller House focuses more on the old characters with the new kids and the new characters in the show to drive the story of the older characters.
Well, it's like, sorry, I just want to throw in, and just like, it feels like the new people are there to support the old people, as opposed to on Girl Meets World, where it's like the new people are the main and the old people are there to support them.
Right. Exactly. You
know? Exactly. However, again, I'm approaching this from the perspective of that's the intent of Fuller House versus Girl Meets World, so I understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
However, for me, I think I liked some of the nostalgia moments, but I really think the pilot was kind of over the top with nostalgia.
And something we talked about on the original recording of this is how that maybe the Fuller House thing would have worked better if it was just the pilot episode and it was just a reunion episode, and maybe it was a little bit longer, it was like an hour or whatever, and that was just like tying up loose ends, looking back on something fondly, and wasn't introducing a whole new thing, or attempting to anyway. And that, like, and I'll say that for me, that, like, I think I definitely liked the pilot the most of the three of us, but you guys managed to finish the whole season. I got, like, 5 episodes in, and I was like, okay, like, I'm like, nostalgia can only get you so far, and I'm just not as invested in these, like, without having Danny there, without having Jesse there all the time, it wasn't as much of what I wanted. I do think a lot of these new people are maybe fun or sweet or whatever, but they don't, there's no, the big difference between even season 1 of Girl Meets World and this is that there isn't really drama, like actual drama happening. And even, I'm not saying Girl Meets World season 1 was like super dramatic, but like there were ongoing storylines and there were things of note. And even when I'll say I saw the episode where like Stephanie can't have kids and like that, I guess that is dramatic, but like, it's just like an afterthought to the episode.
It was so out of place, and not, I didn't get it. Yeah. I didn't like it.
No.
But just to go off kind of what you said before, so I went into this pilot thinking it was going to be Danny, Jesse, Joey, Becky. Like, I thought they were all going to be main characters.
Mm.
And that's almost what made the pilot worse for me, is they literally threw all these old characters in just to shove them back out again and then have them kind of reoccur, which is kind of what goes on for the rest of the series.
Yeah.
But I was, like, disappointed that they were all leaving the house. Like, I didn't expect them to all live together. I don't know what exactly I expected.
Yeah.
But I just, it was after these long introductions, whatnot, and then they kind of get rid of them all again. So yeah. I thought the more adult characters are going to be a much bigger part of Fuller House going into it.
I didn't have a perspective just because I had read some reviews early on, so I knew that they weren't going to. But I think that it would definitely have affected how I viewed it if I didn't know that. I think the interesting thing about these two shows is that neither of them totally knew what audience it was aiming for, but they both slanted in opposite directions, where it's like, I think Girl Meets World, it wanted to more go to the kids because it's Disney Channel, but it still had like season 2 or bringing back Eric or bringing back Turner or bringing back Tommy and all these weird things and flashbacks and things like that. And I still think overall it slanted more towards where a new show or aiming at the kids. Fuller House, I think, like, you know, once you're watching episode 2 and Bob Saget's not there anymore, it's like, okay, this is sort of a new show that probably might appeal to kids if they just started with episode 2, but I think overall it definitely slanted more towards we're aiming at the adults, we're aiming at the nostalgia here. And neither of them just kind of totally picked one side. They both kind of flirted with both. And I think that I don't know what they could have done differently. I don't know what the right answer is, but what do you prefer, I guess?
As far as which show we prefer?
Which method? Like, do you think that it makes more sense to go with the totally new thing, or
I think I prefer, granted, I also had to admit to this, I am, if we're going to use Girl Meets World community terminology, I am a Meets World shipper from the perspective of I'm much more in the Boy Meets World, Girl Meets World camp. Those are kind of my shows more so than the Fuller House shows. But I think what I appreciate about Girl Meets World is that, yes, there's some guest stars that come back and there's some references to Boy Meets World. But I think overall, it stands on its own as an independent show that you can come in without watching Boy Meets World and get the majority of what's going on in the show.
Yeah.
Whereas with a lot of Fuller House, from what I noticed after seeing the first season, is that you kind of need to at least have some fundamental background information from Full House to really enjoy most of Full House.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I prefer the method where you're creating a new show and then having subtle references mixed in throughout, as opposed to you have this sequel show that's dependent upon the original.
And I think just to add on to that, like, again, the three of us are pretty biased on this part, I would say. Like, obviously, I like what Girl Meets World is doing much better. Like, I think they're more set up for success for the long term.
Yeah.
Whereas Fuller House is, I mean, they got a season two. Who knows what season three, if they're going to get a season three. I think it's a much more short-term satisfaction.
Yeah.
And I'd be surprised even to see how many people go and watch Fuller House season two. Like, I think people, the thing with Fuller House is people got their fix and aren't really curious to see what happens next.
Yeah.
And going back to what you said before, Dan, like, I think if they didn't try and make a whole series and they made, like, a two-hour reunion, like, the pilot would have been really satisfying.
Yeah.
And it would have made a huge difference. Like, Fuller House, like, I think of it this way. Like, I didn't start my Girl Meets World fan account till towards the end of season one. But that's because I was super invested. Like, I'm not as invested with Fuller House.
Yeah.
And I think it's because Girl Meets World is just a little more risky and trying something new.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. So, like, overall, if I'm looking at, like, season one of both, or at least maybe the first six episodes of both shows, which is what I've seen of Fuller House, I do think that Girl Meets World is on a better track and makes more sense and is a better long-term decision and more strategically positive. I do think that if I'm looking strictly at the pilots, I get more enjoyment. Me as an adult viewer who saw both original shows, I get more enjoyment from the Fuller House pilot just because it does feel more aimed at me. I personally think the humor is better overall, even though there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of silly things in the Fuller House one. But I think that I come away having now rewatching the Girl Meets World pilot and saying, like, this is okay for a kid's pilot, but it's not like I come away and I had, like, such enjoyment from that show, you know? I think a lot of it introduces a lot of characters who become a lot better as the series one goes on, but as a single episode of TV, I'm not getting a ton out of it. But do we want to talk? Let's take maybe a step back and talk about our the funniest moments, least favorite moments, and nostalgic moments from the Fuller House pilot. What do you guys think is the funniest moment?
For me in Fuller House, the funniest moment was, and not really a moment, but just anything that Max said, any scene Max was in. Like, I thought he was so funny, so adorable. Like, I love the little cleaning bit he did with Danny, and it kind of carried over to when Comet Jr. gave birth, the whole he could clean any stain. Like, I thought it was cute seeing that relationship. Obviously, the Trump joke was pretty funny.
Yep.
Also, so I rewatched both pilots today, and if you watch the Trump joke, like, this must have been done recently or later in editing, because when he says the word Trump, his mouth doesn't line up to the to the words. It's actually pretty interesting.
That is interesting. Because it is very topical. And I was surprised that it felt more, I don't know what the word, like more risky or controversial than I would have expected from the Fuller House pilot.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was a really funny moment too. Dustin, what's your favorite funny moments?
So my favorite funny moment, so first off, I love when anybody breaks the fourth wall in anything. It's just, I'm just the guy who really likes that, just like I really like puns and most people don't. But when they broke the fourth wall, when they asked about what's Michelle doing, and then they kind of turn to the camera and it says, oh, she's busy with her big fashion company, New York. Like, I just thought it was really funny. At the same time, I didn't necessarily expect them to go that way, because that's kind of an on-the-nose I don't want to use the word attack, but it's an on-the-nose, like...
That's what it was.
Make fun of the Olsen twins, which I kind of thought it was funny, but at the same time, if you're a Full House fan that has this hope that maybe someday in Fuller House we'll get to see one or both of the Olsen twins, those type of moments aren't going to make you feel good. Mm-hmm. Because that's... If I was one of the Olsen twins and I heard about that, not that I would watch the Fuller House, because I probably wouldn't, but if I had heard about that, that would make me reluctant to want to come back, yeah, if I even considered it. But I thought that was really funny, even though I know a lot of people won't.
Amanda has some issues with it.
Well, Dan, I was going to let you say your funny parts first, and then I'll take it from there. Segue as well as last time, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite funny moment, I thought it was really... I love the Trump thing, I wrote that down, but also the whole idea of having Stephanie be DJ Tanner... And having, like, DJ be sort of affronted by that, and even her kids calling Stephanie DJ Tanner, I thought that was all really funny, and, like, just, like, a clever joke. In general, I want to say, I really, from what I've seen in these first few episodes, I think Stephanie, for me, is one of the standout people. I think that she's really good.
Oh, yeah, hands down.
Yeah. And as far as the fourth wall thing... It didn't seem as pointed to me as I think it did to some people, but if you are seeing it as an attack, I get it. But Amanda, go ahead.
Before I get into that, I'm just going to mention one more funny moment that I liked about the pilot, and that was the Katsopolis twins. I thought they were hilarious. Those are the two original actors.
Yep.
And, like, I love the fish taco truck. All we need is fish, tacos, and a truck. Yep. And obviously the balloon bit was kind of funny too, but I thought they were like a great addition.
Yeah, little side people.
And I was like upset they weren't, spoiler alert, I was upset they weren't on the rest of the season, but I did really enjoy them in the pilot.
Nice.
So now to go into my least favorite moment, that was the reference to the Olsen twins. I thought it was mean-spirited, but I mean, this is the thing, like there's no way the Olsen twins are in on the joke.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't think they care that the joke is being made. Like, I'm sure at this point they've maybe heard about it.
Yeah.
I don't think they care in the slightest. But me as a viewer, like, I was very taken out of the episode at that point. I thought it was tasteless. I didn't think it was funny. Like, they make another Olsen twin joke later on in the series, which I didn't think was as bad, but still pretty bad. For a different reason, but this was just like, I had to pause it. I was watching with my friends. I was like, did they really just do that? Like, that was horrible. It wasn't funny. I think they could have done so many other things to explain her absence than to like stare at the camera in like a sassy way.
I think I would have preferred a middle ground.
Oh, I hated it.
I think I would have preferred a middle ground where because I do think they had to somewhat address it, and it makes sense to sort of wink at the audience to some degree. Maybe, first of all, no matter what, I thought it was funny, but I think it goes on, like, surprisingly weirdly long. It's like, they look at the camera for
like
a while.
Like a Family Guy joke or something.
Yeah, and so I think it maybe the right way to go is to have had... I forget who says it, like, who actually says where they are, if it's Danny or whatever. But if you just had one of them... like, slightly wink over to the camera when he said it, and so, like, he is breaking the fourth wall or whatever, but not having all of them look over and having it, like, stay on it for a while, I think that he could have found, like, a nice little middle ground there. But I understand both of your points of view, both it being a terrible thing and a really funny thing.
I just feel like it could have been a great, like, blooper. It would have been hilarious as, like, a behind-the-scenes thing. Like, to put that in the... To me, it was torture.
I can
see why you would like it, Dustin, but not really.
I can understand your point of view. As much as wrong as it is, I can understand.
Yeah. I always wished that they just had Elizabeth Olsen come on and be...
That would have been hilarious.
I think that would have been really
perfect.
Funny.
Yeah. Perfect.
And she's a great actress.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My least favorite moment would be probably Stephanie's accent at the beginning of the episode. I thought it was okay. It had kind of a good payoff, but it just goes on too long, and it feels like a weird way to reintroduce the character, because it is kind of grating, but not a huge deal.
My least favorite isn't anything in the story of the pilot necessarily, but it's more of how it started.
Yeah.
I didn't like the fact that we're going to start with this kind of abbreviated version of the original Full House kind of title sequence,
yeah,
which confused me because I'm like, that's kind of strange. Are we using the same title sequence? And then to go like halfway through that and then do 29 years later and move into the kitchen scene where everybody starts coming in.
Yeah.
I was confused because it's 29 years from season one. Why wouldn't you have done like, here's some title sequences from the last season, 21 years later? Because yeah, you know there was 8 years in between that and the end of the original show. And so to me, that just bothered me. I think I would have preferred it if it would have just started out with the in the kitchen, people start walking in. I think that I would have enjoyed it more.
They could have even just done like a very small montage of a few establishing shots of San Francisco and then cut into that, you know, like, and have a little bit of the music, but you didn't have to have the actual thing. It gets felt a little self-indulgent to be like, look how great we were 29 years ago. Like,
well, that's kind of what this whole episode
yeah
is. Literally the entire movie. Yeah.
But are there positive nostalgia things that you guys liked?
My favorite nostalgic moment in Fuller House was that last scene with the Flintstones song.
Yeah, mine too.
I thought it was like beautifully, beautifully done. And I think it would have been even better than it already was had some of the one-liners been taken out of the pilot. Like, I think having Joey do the cut it out, the woodchuck, and Bullwinkle, like, it was too much. Like, yeah, if they took some of the one-liners out, I think it would have made this scene even stronger.
Yeah.
But my favorite part about it, like, I love that they did the side-by-side when the original cast was singing the Flintstones song and they had Stephanie do the Wilma.
Yeah.
And then I love how it sort of transitioned into the new group doing it. I thought that was such a great moment, and I think anyone who was ever a Full House fan, like, had to be grinning from ear to ear. Like, I just loved it.
Great. That's definitely my favorite moment, too. I thought it really did make it feel especially like this could have been, like, the capper series finale they never got, you know? But it was just a very sweet moment.
That is by far, I think, the best nostalgic moment. I don't know if I can make an argument for any other moment that's better in the episode.
Yeah.
One thing that comes to mind that I thought was really funny was when Stephanie and DJ are up in their old room and they're talking about, like, when Stephanie first moved in and how they do the line in the across the room so that Stephanie couldn't go on DJ's side.
Yep.
And then Stephanie goes, and I went over here and grabbed this curtain, and she grabs it and the curtain falls down.
That was funny.
I thought that was really funny. And then the boys come in, the boys being Joey, Jesse, and Danny. And like, what are you doing? I don't know. I just thought it was really funny.
Yeah,
but that doesn't top the Flintstones.
No. But I mean, the whole thing to me is just one giant nostalgic moment, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so why don't we transition from Fuller House to Girl Meets World by talking a little bit about the title sequences. I personally really liked the visuals of the Fuller House title sequences and how it showed little pieces of the old ones. And I had forgotten a lot of them because I haven't watched Full House in so long. And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. It was great. And then I especially liked a lot of the recreations of the old things with the older cast members. I thought that was really fun. And just a really nice, snappy-looking sequence. I think the song is fine. I know a lot of people have issues with the song. I think it's fine. I don't think it's as good as the Girl Meets World one. Other thoughts about that?
I mean, the main difference is Full House redid the same song.
Yeah.
I think it's a great version of it. Like, I have no problem with the version. I think it's, like, a little more current. And yeah, I think that's what makes the opening sequence even better. Like, I loved seeing the old cast, like, the progression of their opening sequence. Like, I thought that was really smart. And it was even cute with the newer cast having their baby pictures to kind of balance it out. Like, I thought it was really cute and good.
Yep.
With that said, I like Girl Meets World much better. It's a new song. It's a new show. It represents something else, this new group of girls. And I love that Sabrina and Rowan sing the song.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole idea of the paper airplane, like, you still have this Boy Meets World tone to it, but you know it's a ready to be its own show. So I think that's why I like the Girl Meets World better.
Totally.
I like both of them. I think I agree that I think the Girl Meets World's better. Not only I think the song's better, but I also like how, like Amanda said, the Girl Meets World theme is kind of its own thing. Yes, it has some kind of callbacks to the Boy Meets World stuff, but it is kind of its own thing, whereas the Fuller House theme is the same song, right? It's done by, it's kind of modernized, and it's got a different track to it and a different person performing it, but it's the same song.
Yeah.
But I think that goes back to, again, the at the core of what these two shows are, right? Where Fuller House is more of a sequel continuation of Full House.
Yeah.
Whereas Girl Meets World is a spinoff. It's a continuation, but it's more of a spinoff.
Yeah.
Focusing on the next generation. Or Full House, kind of, yeah. Fuller House, excuse me.
I mean, aside from the fact that we have Corey as a core piece of it, it really feels like almost a reboot or inspired by kind of thing. It feels like we're going to sort of, especially where we have, you know, especially in the beginning of the show where we have, like, the new versions of everybody, you know. Mm-hmm. It felt like, you know, we're sort of starting this over new. And I think that that's why, like, one of the last things I was saying before we got cut off last time was that, like, my sister, who's a little bit older, I think she's, like, well, she's 29 now, and she walked, like, a couple episodes of Girl Meets World and was like, yeah, this is a little too kiddie for me, but she's been enjoying Fuller House because I feel like that is more aimed at her. You know, it's more aimed at the adult audience.
But that was definitely intentional. Like, yeah. Michael Jacobs has said multiple times, like, we want to do something new. We want to bring the essence of Boy Meets World to a new audience.
Yeah.
And, just to go off what you said before, like, Girl Meets World is more of a spin-off type feel, whereas Fuller House is more of Full House 29 years later.
Yeah. So none of us have kids. I wonder which show is easier or better to watch with your kids. Because I remember I read one review of Fuller House, and they had their kids... You know, the critic had their kids come in like, episode 3 or something, and they were like, oh, look at the silly things happening, and they were really laughing and enjoying it. So, you know, I don't think they would necessarily enjoy the pilot, but it feels like that could work. And I do think that the Girl Meets World, obviously the kids like Girl Meets World, but I don't know.
I think Fuller House has more to offer kind of the average adult.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, so for me, I'm someone who's always enjoyed coming-of-age stories in that genre of TV and film. And yeah. So because of that, I enjoy Girl Meets World, even though it focuses on, like, teenagers, right? Yeah. You know, I'm not a teenager. But I know that, like, the average adult doesn't necessarily enjoy coming-of-age stories like I do. And so, therefore, I think Fuller House can touch a broader audience.
Yeah.
But I think, like, if I were a parent, I think it would be easier for me to sit and watch Girl Meets World with my children than Fuller House. I say that. I'm not a parent, so maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. But that it just seems to me that Girl Meets World's a show that can happen easier. Yeah. But I understand how Fuller House has a way to appeal to a mass audience.
I think it's interesting what you bring up about the how you specifically like watching coming of age stories, because I have had, I think you even have someone who wrote in a guest blog once about how they want someone that they, as like as a more millennial viewer, want someone on Girl Meets World who represents them. It's a little bit more like, I think the article was about like how it would be nice to have Tommy around more often because it's someone who represents them that they can connect with. And so I think that there are some people who are like, oh, I wanted to see, you know, grown-up Corey, I wanted to see this. But I think, I mean, I personally definitely agree with you that I think no matter how old I get, I'll always like high school stories and coming-of-age stories. And I think that that's just like very important part of our growth as people. And it's something that everybody can relate to. And, yeah.
And going off of what you just said, I don't know this for a fact. It's probably not going to happen.
Mm.
But if we see more of Josh in season 3 because he's supposed to be at NYU.
Yeah.
Maybe that can kind of help those people that want someone who's more in that millennial or like kind of young, late teens, young 20s age group.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, I'm doubting that we're going to see him much, but as someone who really likes that character, I can have hope.
We are kind of focusing this podcast mostly on the pilot, but as a series, Fuller House was not horrible. Like, I read a lot of the reviews before watching it, so I guess I had pretty low expectations, but overall, it wasn't that bad. I really didn't care for the pilot, but there were, like, maybe 2 to 3 episodes that I really did love start to finish, and I think were for multiple audiences. And to be honest, now that I think about it, those episodes that I liked really did kind of focus on the kids more.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's a personal preference, I don't really know, but I think Fuller House does have something for everyone, whereas Girl Meets World really doesn't. Like, they kind of get their adult viewers by flashing Mr. Turner and Mr. Feeney.
Right. One thing that I would encourage people who either, if you have watched Fuller House, or if you're like Dan, you've watched some of the episodes but haven't finished, or if you're someone who's not sure you're going to watch it. For me, I had seen and heard of some of the really bad reviews.
Yeah.
So I kind of went into it hearing about that and having that in my mind. But there was not a moment when I was watching it where I was like, I can't watch this. Mm. Like
exactly.
It was always
totally
enjoyable
agree.
To me to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Was it as enjoyable as some other shows? No, but there was never a moment where I'm like, okay, I'm completely bored. I'm going to shut this off. Yeah. I don't continue watching.
From what I've seen, it's like it's solidly fine, but it's not like, you know, it's not terrible the way some of the reviews are. Like, it's not like, oh God, what is happening?
So
like,
it's not Boy Meets World, right? But it's not, what is that Disney show with the secret agent family?
Casey Undercover.
Yeah. I hate that show. It's not that show, but it's not, as I would not put it as good as Boy Meets World, Girl Meets World.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for all the Casey Undercover fans that are going to listen to this and are going to want to attack me on Twitter. That show.
I've only seen one episode of it, and I was just kind of a surprise that they actually had, like, fight scenes in a three-camera sitcom. I was like, this is weird, but I was kind of intrigued, but I did not find it funny.
See, I watched it, and I'm like, Kim Possible's better.
Yep.
That's just my thought.
Oh, Kim Possible.
Kim Possible is great. Let's get the revival of that.
Yes, that I would
starring
watch that.
Eric Matthews.
Exactly. Let's talk a little bit about Girl Meets World's pilot. I'm going to start off just because I've already obviously talked about this now many times. But, you know, my viewing now, I hadn't watched it in a few, maybe even like a year or something. And Riley and Maya's chemistry is still the best part of the whole thing. I actually, it's funny because the first time I watched it, I remember I was particularly impressed with Sabrina's acting, maybe even more than Rowan's. And this time I'm like, wow, Rowan was really, really great from the beginning. She did a really good job. I really liked Augie's little bit in this episode. Thought he had one of the better character introductions. Corey has some solid, funny-ish jokes here and there, but unlike on Fuller House, he did not really super slide right back into the role. And that's, I feel like, a little bit acting, a little bit writing. It took him a while. I still am not totally on board with him being a teacher. I feel like whenever he slips into the teacher role, it feels like he's a different person to me a little bit. Topanga, I don't feel like he got that much to really work with. Same thing with Lucas. They just really were pretty flat in this episode. Again, they obviously get better. And then Farkle, I just thought was interesting looking back at the pilot because, well, I feel like he had some okay stuff. He really feels just like that annoying kid who'd just be like the troublemaker in the class or like the troublemaker for them, who maybe they eventually find friendship with. He definitely didn't feel like, oh, that kid we've been friends with forever that we really care about and that matters to us and he's loyal to us. And, I mean, he sits down at the table for like half a second and they kind of complain about it jokingly and then he leaves. He doesn't like sit down with them. So I don't think they did a great job of establishing who he would be going forward. But otherwise, those are my main points. Amanda, what do you think?
I totally agree about the Farkle thing. Like, looking back at the pilot, I didn't think he was going to be a part of the main friend group at all. Like, he just seemed like the annoying pest in the class.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even in the opening credits for the first season. So maybe that wasn't even the intention at first. Who knows? But, again, wasn't super thrilled with Farkle in the pilot. But, again, we kind of have the luxury of being two seasons in.
Yeah.
Because, like, comedically, I thought he was pretty funny. Like, it was something different. Like, not a typical nerd you're used to seeing.
He had a good manic energy, I feel like.
Yeah. Like, his acting was really good.
Yeah.
Overall, with the Girl Meets World pilot, I definitely liked it better than the Fuller House pilot. Was by no means perfect. Like, I agree with you. I don't know if I blame it on the acting, but Corey didn't really feel like Corey in the first episode. I think Corey and Topanga had one really cute moment when they were like, let's have a kid. Let's have another kid. You listen to me, you big stupid. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
But I think, again, having the luxury of being two seasons in, I think it really was a great building block for what this series was going to be.
Yeah.
And it really did set itself apart as a new show. And compared to Fuller House, where they had introduction after introduction after introduction, there wasn't a need for it in Girl Meets World. It was just telling the story, starting to get to know the new characters, and then they had that wonderful Feeny moment at the end, which really made the episode for me. And again, it really does set up the whole series, maybe not season two looking back, but the whole like giving of the subway pass, like I thought it was a great way to transition into this new show.
Mm-hmm.
But again, having watched season two when there's no more Subway.
I'm still upset about that.
I'm so upset. It's just like me. I live in New York, too. So for me, it takes away like the New York feel to it. So. Yeah.
So, guys, answer this question for me. Because I thought about this earlier today while rewatching the pilot. Have we seen the Subway at all in season two?
No.
Nope.
Okay. No, it's gone.
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
First date was the last time.
The season two episodes as much as I rewatched the season one episodes. So I wasn't sure. Okay. As far as the pilot goes, I think of the three of us, I like the pilot the most. And similarly to my thought with Fuller House, I think the pilot for Girl Meets World did exactly what it set out to do.
Yeah.
Which I think the pilot for Girl Meets World set out to establish a new show with new characters and kind of get you familiar with, okay, who are the characters? What's the setting? What's going on? You had the Feeny appearance at the end, which I thought was a great nostalgia moment.
Yeah.
But I think aside from that moment, I think you could come into the pilot of Girl Meets World without being a Boy Meets World fan and not be confused at all.
Yeah.
And so that I really liked about it. One thing that you guys mentioned about how like Corey didn't really feel like Corey in the pilot, and Topanga didn't necessarily feel like Topanga, but didn't consider that much. Part of that could be acting, but I think part of that could be the way the characters were written in the pilot, right? Because I would say in Fuller House, those characters felt like their characters. Well, they're saying some of the same lines.
Yeah.
Some of the same stuff. Whereas in the pilot for Girl Meets World, that wasn't necessarily the case.
Yeah.
And I will say with Fuller House, for some reason, every time I've watched Bob Saget in Fuller House, I just feel like he's not fully there. Mm.
I agree with that.
The character. I feel like he just kind of shows up there and says his lines, but I feel like he's not getting into character like the other characters are.
Interesting.
And maybe that's because he spent way too much time just doing voiceovers on How I Met Your Mother. But that's just one thing I noticed in that. So while Corey and Tobago may not seem like themselves in the pilot, I think part of that's just how the pilot was written.
Yeah.
But also, you're coming back to this after being gone, and neither of them have really acted in 15 years.
Yeah.
So that's another thing.
Just to counterpoint that, like, Jodie Sweetin and Andrea Barber haven't acted since Full House either. And they definitely slipped right more back into the roles than they did on Girl Meets World. Like, I think Girl Meets World, it took them a little longer to, like, rebuild that chemistry because it was a different type of sitcom.
Yeah. Right. Well, they were also, I feel like, did more. Like, I feel like their characters changed more in the writing, too. I feel like Corey is a very different person now than he was then, whereas I feel like DJ is still pretty much DJ, you know. Now she also is a mom, but like I feel like the character that we left with DJ kind of makes sense to be a mom, you know. Like it's right. So I don't know. Do we want to get into the funniest moments?
Sure.
I actually struggled with my funniest moment, not because I didn't think there were funny stuff, but I think it was a lot of just like little things, like a lot of small things that sort of added up nicely, like a lot of little. Rowan choices, little smiles she makes, thumbs ups and stuff like that. The biggest like writing thing that I thought was good that I liked was Maya dating Lucas really quickly. I thought that was pretty solid.
For me comedically, it was probably whatchamacallit, when Augie goes, "It's because we're twins." Mm-hmm. We're not twins. Like it was so, I thought it was like risky to do with that type of character. Like, I think that set the tone for Augie's character. Like, he's super silly, and it gave me a little laugh.
Yeah.
And another funny thing I liked was the joke with Lucas when Corey says, "What's the closest city in Texas to Mexico?" Mm-hmm. "El Paso, sir." And then he goes, "Let's go there." And then he drags him out on the chair.
I actually really, I think my favorite parts for Corey in this episode were his interactions with Lucas. I felt like that, he felt more like Corey for some reason. Even though that was a totally new role for him, it felt natural.
And even though Lucas was a dud in the pilot.
Yeah.
Like, I almost was, like, afraid for Girl Meets World. I was like, they really casted this kid?
Yeah.
Like, he's pretty, that's great, but, like, oh, God, he cannot act.
Yeah.
No. Much better since then, Peyton Meyer, if you're listening. Love you, bye.
When you listen to this, because we know he listens on a regular basis, please know that we support you. We love you.
Yeah.
My funniest moments. So I have to agree with Amanda. The Augie Riley scene is one of my favorite scenes between them in the entire series.
Yeah, very good.
I just love it where Augie's like, "Do bears ever smile? Why is cake always so delicious? My drawings ever get any better? I just think it's really funny. Yeah. I just love it. And then
I think just like you, because we're twins.
Yeah. And then what, one of my favorite moments in the entire series, I just love it. It's when Jackie, I don't know her last name, right? The
Jackie person, Harry?
Harry,
yeah. Yeah, it's when they're on the train, and Maya, like, pushes Riley off, and she goes, "You don't push your best friend off the train!"
You know, it is... It's funny, I didn't remember liking her that much in my first viewing, but this time I was like, she's one of the funniest parts of this pilot, for sure.
Oh, no, it's hilarious.
Yeah. It's for you.
I really liked the moment where she was like, I forget exactly what the line was, but she was like, best friends are very important, I'm not talking to mine right now, or whatever, something like that, I thought was really funny. Yeah. Do we have a least favorite moment?
Yes.
Okay.
I really like the pilot. And I've said it before. I think it did what it was meant to do. I think it did a good job introducing the characters.
Yeah.
But I don't like Farkle in the pilot. Mm. I just don't. No. And Grant, maybe it's because I've seen what Farkle has been season two post Girl Meets Yearbook, and so I love Farkle post Girl Meets Yearbook. So watching Farkle in the pilot kind of drives me crazy. The sleeping mask that he wears in class, I just thought that was kind of dumb.
Yeah.
I get it's supposed to be funny, but I just didn't ever think it was that funny.
Yeah.
So for me, my least favorite moment is just the Farkle moments in class.
I will say, I didn't know it at the time, but I think the back of the class Brenda thing is really funny when you know that it's Corey Fogelman.
Right, which the first, like, five times, or maybe five or ten, for several months, I didn't realize it was him.
Yeah,
and then when I heard it may have been on the podcast name where I heard something mentioned the first time. I don't remember, but then I went back to watch it. I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, it is.
Yeah,
that's and I love how they brought Brenda back for what is it? STEM? Is that what it was?
Yeah,
which just randomly appeared. I thought that was funny.
That was great.
Good use of a joke, like a season and a half later.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, these aren't necessarily moments, but my least favorite, I guess, aspects of the pilot.
Yeah.
So this isn't my least favorite, but something that kind of bothered me was that they use the homework rebellion as their main plot point because they already did that in Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
Like the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Again, didn't like deter me from the pilot, but something that kind of bothered me about it. I think they could have gone a slightly different way about it.
Yeah.
But my least favorite thing, again, not really a moment, but just the acting in general. Like to me, something was very off. Like they didn't quite have their timing yet.
Yeah.
I think the script was there. I think, like, Ben's acting, I don't know if it was, maybe they were specific choices he made, but, like, even in the beginning when he was saying, like, until you make the world yours, like, he would kind of seemed angry, and I was like, is this a lecture? Like, is this supposed to be funny?
Yeah.
Like, and again, just to go back to Peyton Meyer, like, he just kind of sat there and smiled the whole time.
Well, I think it was a mistake to even have him in the pilot at all, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think that clearly the drama of the episode was about her and Maya, and they had to establish that first. And it still is about that, but like throwing in the boy in the very first episode, it just feels like overly being like, like this heartthrob girls, and like he just didn't need to show up then. He could have shown up like episode 3 or 4, and I think that would have made a lot more sense. Once we'd establish these people as people before we establish, like, oh, he likes this boy. But I mean, for me, I think definitely my least favorite part is the opening scene. I think it's a really poor opening scene. I think the dialogue is very, it makes no sense. It's just all over the place. And then I especially, I mean, I agree with you in that, like, I like the ending of her getting the pass. But I mean, I remember we made the joke about, like, happy third subway ride thing about, like, yes, it would be, it's meaningful, but he's already been riding the subway throughout the entire episode, and so then it's like the entire family and friends like watch her go on the subway for like the third time, and so it's just like it doesn't really make sense.
Okay, good point.
But all right, and then I think for nostalgia, how can we say anything other than Feeny, really? But just a nice little moment. You guys have anything else?
I just thought it was so well done. Yeah. Like, I think they could have easily, like, again, if they wanted to make it more about the Boy Meets World characters, like, we probably would have seen a conversation or two of Corey and Topanga. Like, Corey be like, will I ever be just like Feeny? Blah, 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 blah. But they did a nice moment at the end of him kind of guiding him through this moment. Well done, Mr. Matthews. Like, it was just what we all needed for nostalgia. So I loved it.
Yeah.
I love the Feeny moment in the pilot. And I say that. So have y'all heard I heard an interview one time Michael Jacobs talk about they had planned two Feeney moments and didn't know which one they were going to use until they put it together. Have y'all heard that story?
No.
No.
So originally they shot two different Feeney moments with Bill Daniels. One of them was the one that we saw at the very end. And then another one was how to do in class when everyone's kind of Maya starting her rebellion and everything else. And Corey looks at a picture on his desk that is Mr. Feeney. And then he kind of imagines a conversation with Mr. Feeney, where Mr. Feeney essentially tells him, "Did you think I was always Mr. Feeney?" Mm. Right? About how, like, being a teacher is not always easy.
Yeah.
But I think with the way – and I thought, I wonder if they may use that at a later point in the show.
Yeah.
Because – assuming, like – because the plan is, from what Michael Jacobs has said, is that they want to use Feeney at the first episode of each season.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, God forbid, if William Daniels doesn't live through the end of Grovey's World, that might be useful. And I don't like saying that because I love Feeney. But I think,
God forbid.
Yeah, back to what I said. I think the use of Feeney at the end is better, because I think if you would have done it in the middle of the episode, it would have taken new fans out of it.
Yeah.
I'm glad with how they used it.
Yeah, I think that was the right choice. I think if you put it in the middle, it's more like distracting. At the end, it's like, even if they don't understand it, it's like, oh, well, that was sweet, whatever. I definitely agree there. So one thing I want to talk about, very directly comparing these two episodes, is sort of the emotional climax here. Both of them have, in some ways, kind of a similar thing, where it all leads up to this one moment of someone sort of breaking down, to sort of give the episode a little bit more drama and a little bit more heart, I guess. And so we have, in Girl Meets World, we have Maya being like, "There's no one at home to help me with my homework," and her, like, emotional moment. And then we have DJ's parenting moment of freaking out about having to have all these kids and not being able to handle it by herself. And I want to know what you guys think as far as which one hit for you more.
That's a good question. Probably Fuller House.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I think it's just a heavier subject, like dealing with death.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I thought it was kind of nice the way they did it, like, with the baby monitor.
Yeah.
So that hit a little more home for me. I wish, like, I think it was obvious DJ felt overwhelmed throughout the episode, but I don't think it was enough. Like, I think if there were more of a build-up to that moment, it would have made more sense. But the thing with Maya was nice, too.
Yeah.
But I would say emotionally, Fuller House probably hit a little harder for me.
Dustin?
I would agree. And maybe because it's more applicable to my life.
Yeah.
Not in the sense that I'm a parent and I'm a single parent, because I'm not, but I mean, my family's gone through situations where we've had, like, people in our family that are really sick that we've had to take care of and things like that. So I know what it's like to have those kind of life-changing events that happen unexpectedly.
Yeah.
And so because of that, I think I related to it more.
Yeah.
And I think as an adult, you relate to those things more than a 13-year-old who doesn't have anyone to help them with their homework.
Yeah.
And because I was never in that particular situation when I was growing up, I can't relate to that one as much.
Yeah. I think the other problem with the Maya moment, even though I think looking at it, like, acting-wise and everything, it's, like, solid enough, is that it also was like, oh, so she really is a Sean clone. Like, it was, like, another confirmation of, oh, so even the dramatic stuff is going to be the same. I do think it worked. I will say, as far as Fuller House goes, I was kind of taken aback at how much it hit me. I actually, like, I'm a little embarrassed to say, like, I teared up a little bit at that moment. And it's because I can pretty strongly relate to it. I was actually, my niece was on my lap sleeping while I was watching this. And it's because my sister needed a little bit of time to herself, because she's been struggling with being a mom in the wake of my dad passing away. And it's, you know, so, like, that was a very, like, it just happened to coincide at a moment that, like, it was kind of, like, it hit me a lot more than I ever expected Fuller House to hit me. But I don't know whether it's just, like, it happened to line up well, or how well it was actually done, but it definitely hit me a lot harder. And I think that's a big part of why I enjoy the episode more.
Oh, Dan.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. It's just, like, I think it just goes to show, like, this has more meaning and I think is more, like, relatable to an adult audience and even to a younger audience. Like, DJ was overwhelmed. She was scared. And, like, she had all this. So, basically, she moved in with her dad since her husband passed away for, it seems, like, about a year.
Yeah.
And she was really about to be on her own. And on this very day, Tommy was getting sick and the dog was having babies and she could already tell she was overwhelmed. And I think like it was a believable breakdown of her character, like really realizing she was about to be on her own. And I think it was much more relatable than Maya just blurting out, "No one's helping me with my homework."
Yeah. There just wasn't a lot of, there was also the thing about like that moment was a reveal moment as opposed to a culmination of everything that had been happening in the episode, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right. I guess that's, I mean, I feel like we've already kind of expressed which shows we liked more. And again, I think we all overall definitely prefer Girl Meets World. I think for the pilot wise, I do think that Fuller House worked for me more. I guess any other ending thoughts on that, or thoughts if you want to throw anything about comparing the season one of each show to each other, now that you guys have seen all of it, anything like that?
I mean, quickly, I'll just say, so again, like the three of us are pretty biased and we are more heavily Girl Meets World fans. So I think we were probably more skewed to selecting Girl Meets World as our favorite.
Yeah.
So same goes. I ran a poll on my Twitter yesterday. I started by saying this is probably biased because most of my followers are Girl Meets World fans. But I said, which pilot did you like better, Girl Meets World, Fuller House, or about the same? 56 votes total, 30 said Girl Meets World, so that's a little over half, and then 13 votes each for Fuller House and about the same, which that's kind of what I expected, especially being a Girl Meets World fan account. But I can see how people would like think they're pretty similar. Like, as we've gone over in this podcast, like each have its own individual strengths and weaknesses. For me, the Girl Meets World strengths just totally outshined the strengths of Fuller House for me. Not to say it didn't have strengths, but to me, like, the Girl Meets World strengths were much, much stronger.
Yeah.
And then I also, I had a few comments on the poll that I just wanted to read through really quickly.
No problem.
Let's see.
Well, Dustin, do you want to throw in your points while she brings that up?
Yeah, sure. I would just say, and I've said this before, but I'll just, I guess, recap briefly. I think both pilots do a really good job of doing what they set out to do. Mm-hmm. I think Girl Meets World does a good job of establishing a continuation of Boy Meets World that's more of a spin-off that focuses on the kids and establishes itself as kind of its own independent show that can survive on its own, whereas Fuller House has a lot of fan service and a lot of references to the original series. But again, that's the purpose, because the target audience for that show is more of the Full House fans, not drawing in new, not drawing in a newer, bigger audience. So I think they both do a good job of accomplishing what they set out to accomplish. One thing I just want to say real quick, just before the community attacks me, I don't want Mr. Feeney to pass away.
Yeah.
I know I made that reference earlier. Don't take that the wrong way. I don't want him to. Please don't. I just want to clarify, because I don't want my Twitter being attacked by 500 people tomorrow. You want Feeney to die? No, I don't. I don't. And I'll leave it at that.
I think Girl Meets World, as we've seen two seasons later, and even having watched a full season of Fuller House, like, Girl Meets World is much more sustainable. And it really does stand on its own. Like, you look at episodes like Girl Meets Texas, and it didn't have any Boy Meets World characters in it at all, like Corey and Topanga. And Fuller House, like I said this before, there were some standout episodes to me. Overall, it didn't really stand on its own. I think Steve, I guess they didn't know if they were getting a second season, but I think they used him way too soon, way too early.
Yeah.
But again, they probably didn't know they were getting another season, so I can't blame them for that. But again, overall, Girl Meets World does stand on its own as a show. But again, that's what it set out to do, whereas Fuller House, they probably didn't set out to do that. So I agree with Dustin. They accomplished what they wanted to accomplish.
So I guess my question to you guys before we get into this one email is, so say they tomorrow you wake up and some other random property that you love from your childhood was going to be brought back in a similar way. Would you want them to basically make a totally new thing like Girl Meets World, or would you want them to service you as a fan?
So it's already happening.
Yeah.
And they're servicing me as a fan and I'm not super thrilled about it.
What is it?
Because I don't know what to think about this new Power Ranger movie. On a serious note, I think it depends on what they're trying to do. But I think if you were gonna tell me you're gonna bring back another show,
yeah,
I want it to. I think shows are better when they stand on their own.
Yeah.
But they don't rely on what's already been done in the past, right? Yeah. So I think what might hold Fuller House back from being as good as it could be is relying too much on the jokes and the nostalgia and everything else. Whereas I'd rather see. So for instance, I'm not against Girl Meets World bringing in Sean some more because we haven't seen him in a while. Bringing in like the Matthews family a couple more times throughout the show, or Topanga's parents. You know, I'd like to see them. We haven't seen them, but I would like to see those characters come in. But the show continue progressing instead of relying upon what happened in the past. And so if a show from my childhood came out, I'd want it to be more in the realm of Girl Meets World and how they did things than Fuller House.
And I think only time will tell, too, like, especially with Girl Meets World, like, people go back and say, oh, Disney Channel's horrible right now, like, it's golden years, we're like, That's So Raven and Lizzie McGuire, so I think time's gonna tell. Like, if we look 5-10 years from now and we're able to say, like, Disney Channel was good because Girl Meets World was on Disney Channel, like, I totally foresee that happening. Like, I think it's the Lizzie McGuire of this time.
Yeah.
Right. So I totally think that is better off for, you know, success.
Yeah.
And then just to go back to some of the poll comments. So at Pound Bells said they prefer Girl Meets World, even though it's on Disney. Fuller House's pilot was good until they made the unnecessary look to the camera after mentioning Michelle.
So
agree.
Funny.
So Dustin, funny. You commented on it too. So not going to read that. I think we got your opinion. And at Backstreet Gem, Gemma said she liked Fuller House because she was able to enjoy it as an adult. Didn't have to tap into my inner 12-year-old to relate to it, which I could totally see that. Yeah. I think Fuller House was definitely more so made for adults.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that I'm kind of torn on about this question is that, like, I think Girl Meets World worked because what the new thing that they came up with, I personally think is good. But if a new property was coming that I loved, and I'd be like, well, then what's even the point of using the property if you're going to totally be new? You know, like, if it's if it is going to be aimed at kids, well, they don't know about Boy Meets World. So what's the, why are you even doing? Like, just make a new show. Like, and so I'm a little torn. It's like, I feel like Girl Meets World worked because it's probably the smarter thing to do artistically, but, like, as a fan of a property, I think what I would want is more of my property, you know? And But at the same time, I think that Girl Meets World has managed to, in its best moments, evoke what I loved about Boy Meets World while also being something that can stand on its own. And I think that that is overall the right thing to try to aim for. Also, a thing I meant to mention a while ago is you guys had talked about how they threw in, like, every catchphrase into the Fuller House pilot right away.
Literally all of them.
And it's interesting to think. And it's interesting to think about how little Girl Meets World reference in its pilot. Because if you look at the season overall, there's a ton of references to Boy Meets World in that season overall. Yeah. But they were more intelligent about spreading it out. I think if they had taken all those references and put them in the pilot, man, that would not have worked very well. And so I think that was smarter.
I think Girl Meets World does a good job of, even still today, throwing in those Boy Meets World references when they can, but not going overboard with it. And I think that's important to where you don't want to alienate the new audience where they're like, I'm so confused, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's something that the writers have done a good job with in Girl Meets World.
For sure. All right.
And my my one last thought is I would be really interested to see who, like, people our age, at what point they started tuning out. Like, I can guarantee everyone watched the Girl Meets World pilot and was probably like, wow, so this really is a Disney show, and stopped watching.
Yeah.
Whereas Fuller House, they probably watched the pilot and got their nostalgic fix out of it. Oh, I'll watch a few more.
Yeah.
But then maybe they stopped at 5, kind of like you did. So I'd be really, really interested to see the difference of, like, fans returning and at what point they kept up and at what point they gave up.
I would be curious to see how many fans that started, watched an episode or two of Girl Meets World, left, went back and try it again when it got on Netflix.
That's true. I do want to throw in that from this discussion, I probably will keep walking Fuller House. If you think the better episodes are episodes I haven't seen yet, I'll give that a shot. Because it's not like I didn't.
One of my favorites, I think, is the 6th, literally the next one.
All right, I'll watch that tonight. I'll let you know. All right, why don't you read this one email, and then we'll get out of here.
Sure. So this email is from Jeremy Pape. Here we go. How does nostalgia drive storytelling? I would not be the first person to point out that nostalgia is at an all-time high. Every week, we are either greeting old friends on our television screens or devices, or we are being informed of a new reboot. This didn't really start with Girl Meets World, yet the show's 2014 premiere did seem to happen around the time of the great nostalgia boom. I was pumped to revisit Cory and Topanga. As someone who was only 7 when the show ended, I watched it differently than most of the adult audience. It would be easy to look at my memories of Boy Meets World and give Girl a pass, but in light of other projects fueled by 90s nostalgia, is it doing its job? Fuller House debuted at the end of February on Netflix. This was another show I adored, even if I wasn't as fanatical about it as I was with Boy Meets World. Yet I had spent many mornings watching the Tanner family navigate life in the small town they called a house. I watched all of Fuller House over its premiere weekend. I enjoyed the debut episode, which was a reunion of sorts, something Girl Meets World has dabbled in with mixed results. Now, I don't mean to say that Fuller House is a better show than Girl Meets World, but the thing about nostalgia is that you want to feel the same things you felt when you first experienced whatever phenomenon you are enjoying. In this regard, Fuller House is triumphant. Characters we saw grow up during our childhoods came back to us, more fleshed out by the virtue of their age and filled roles we'd previously seen on Full House. Girl Meets World, on the other hand, has struggled in this department. Both shows relied on callbacks, and to Girl Meets World credit, it seems that they relied less on callbacks. Yet, I could watch an episode of Boy Meets World, even in an episode I don't recall as well from my youth, and I would feel something. Girl Meets World has not made me feel that way at nearly the same frequency. Real people may grow up, but they don't lose everything about who they were. This concept carried into Fuller House. The adults are seasoned, but still figuring things out with the same charm as they were 20-plus years ago. Girl Meets World introduced Corey as a teacher, something I certainly didn't see coming. It is honestly still difficult for me to buy him as a teacher. I could write pages about what I wish the show has done differently as far as execution, but the point is this. Is nostalgia really such a powerful tool if much of what you know is turned on its head? Awesome email, Jeremy. Yeah,
really great.
Good job.
I think my biggest thing that I came away from that I wanted to mention is that I do think that as far as the episodes when Girl Meets World has tried to do basically what Fuller House's pilot did, I don't think we're as successful as this pilot was in recapturing. I think the closest they came probably is Home for the Holidays. And I think that Sean is one of the characters that's like, he really did completely just slip back into his role. He seems completely like Sean to me. But I do feel like when they brought back a lot of the other people, it did feel more forced and it didn't totally gel in the right way. And those episodes where they're trying to make it be like we're being nostalgic, they weren't able to capture it for me usually. And that, to me, the show is better when it's not trying to do that. But what do you guys think?
I agree, although at the same time, I don't want Boy Meets World to, excuse me, Girl Meets World to reach a point where we're saying we're not going to try to have some of those episodes, because I think it's good to have those characters back.
Yeah.
Not just for fan service, but the characters of Boy Meets World have an impact on the lives of the characters in Girl Meets World, whether it's direct or indirect, right? So I would like to see some more of that. I'm still waiting for Morgan.
Yeah.
Not seeing her. Don't know when we're going to.
I'm really hoping she's in Legacy.
Yeah.
And they keep telling us she's going to be around, so I hope she's going to show up at some point.
Yeah.
But I agree. I don't think they've been as successful in Girl Meets World with bringing characters back as Fuller House did, but I think that's because Fuller House was much more on the nose with the characters being the same as they were 20 years ago, whereas for the most part, with one major exception, the Boy Meets World characters that come back to Girl Meets World really seem to be their character, but they progressed in life, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. What's your notable exception?
Mr. Squirrels.
Yeah.
I've come to accept Eric as he is in Girl Meets World, but I when I knew Eric was coming back, I was really hoping for the season 5, season 6 Eric, Eric that's goofy but loved Tommy, the Eric that was becoming serious about life even though he's still goofy, not season 7 kind of off the rails Eric.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've come to accept it for what it is.
I will say,
yeah, what they did to Eric was pretty tragic.
Yeah. I mean, really, I think tragic. There were some interesting things that came from the Senate, like the political stuff, but it wasn't worth it to me. I definitely think that his episodes were harder for me to watch. I think that Harley is one of the examples that they handled pretty well.
Yeah.
I liked the little bits of Feeny that we've gotten. And I think Turner actually did totally slip back into his role really well. It just is a little bit silly for him to even be there, but I can let that go.
But Jeremy brought up a lot of points that we kind of brought up too. So the whole, like, buying Corey as a teacher, agree. Again, Girl Meets World really capturing Boy Meets World. It didn't. But at the same time, it's a different show.
Yeah.
And I think Boy Meets World fans aren't able to separate it. And yeah. I think that's why Michael Jacobs spends so much time talking about it. Like, yeah. he keeps trying to remind you, like, this is not Boy Meets World. Yeah. It is Girl Meets World. But as you said, if they're going to use this property, like, obviously the Boy Meets World fans are here and want what they got from Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
And Fuller House was definitely more successful in that light. Like, it really did capture, like, the cheesiness, the corniness of the original series. The characters slipped right back into their roles, especially, like, Kimmy and Stephanie.
Yeah.
But again, the downside, it was all in the first episode.
Yeah.
And even Steve, I forgot to mention Steve. Like, I thought Steve fit right back into, like, with the food and the energy he had. Like, I thought he was pretty good too. But he makes a great point there, which we kind of touched on earlier.
I think one thing that I thought was kind of, I don't know, interesting or impressive is that we have Kimmy and Stephanie still being sort of true to their characters, at least as far as I remember them. But they also kind of nicely slip into the Jesse and Joey roles, just kind of naturally, which I thought was kind of clever, that, like, you have the more Stephanie, the more bad boy person who's just, like, just doesn't necessarily fit in here exactly right, and then you have the wackier one who's just, like, you know, which I thought was kind of clever of them, because it wasn't like they were pushing the characters in ways that didn't make any sense, but it also filled a role that was sort of core to what the formula was.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely intentional to make her the Uncle Jesse, like, taking a break from their crazy life. But again, it was very true to their characters, and it didn't feel forced at all.
Yeah. All right. Any closing thoughts, Dustin?
Nope.
All right.
I agree.
Anything else, Amanda?
I think that was about it. I'm trying to think if there's anything from the first run that we may have missed.
I think we did a pretty solid job, given that we had to redo half of it.
Anyone who hasn't seen all of Fuller House yet, I hope that my sourness towards the pilot does not turn you off to watching the rest. It's definitely worth the watch.
Mm-hmm.
I will say the finale was a bit underwhelming and made no sense at all.
Oh,
but again, they probably didn't think they were getting a second season. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, but it did have some standout episodes to me. And as a fan of the original show, it definitely hit the nostalgia points.
Yep.
I think Max is a great, amazing little cutie.
Mm.
And overall, the show is really good. Like, a few days after watching it from start to finish, I kind of looked back and I was like, even though I was kind of cranky throughout points of it and annoyed at certain things, like, overall, I did find it very enjoyable. Yeah.
Would it be awful of me to ask if you prefer Max or Augie?
That would be so awful. It literally is, it's painful to me, because they're both, I did not expect to love Max as much as I love Augie.
Yeah.
I love them the same.
I think acting-wise, they're both phenomenal. I think I actually prefer Max's writing, but acting-wise, I think they're both really up there.
Yeah, they made Max smarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're both really good. If you haven't watched Fuller House and you're a Girl Meets World fan, which obviously you are because you're listening to this podcast, if you like Augie, you'll like Max. Yeah. I'll just say that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
Max
definitely.
Max is really good.
All right, so just ending out, if anybody wants to send in feedback about this or any other Girl Meets World related topic, you can send us an email at gmwpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at gmwpodcast. Leave us a nice iTunes rating or review, and it will make me happy, so please do that. You can also check us out on our website, gmwpodcast.com. And that's pretty much it. Do you guys want to throw out your Twitters or whatever again?
Sure. So this is Dustin. You can find me at GMW Long Game on Twitter and you can check out my blog at thegmwlongame.com.
Again, my name is Amanda. I'm at GMWBuzz on Twitter. And there's a link to my BuzzFeed articles on there as well.
Great.
I've probably promoted that enough at this point on here a few times, but I appreciate if you guys check out my Twitter page and my articles. Thanks.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. And as always, remember to dream,
try,
do good,
class dismissed.